Welcome, everyone. This is our fourth HerStoryArc podcast today, coming from HerStoryArc.com. I'm Lindsay, the founder and head editor.
Hi, I'm Celia, co-editor.
And today we're just going to talk about a whole lot of random stuff, basically, about HerStoryArc, about feminism, about whatever we feel like talking about. So I hope you enjoy it as much as we probably will. So to get us started, I'm going to ask the two of ourselves, what got us interested in feminism to begin with, and maybe at what age?
All right. I would definitely have to say that, like, I don't know, from age two, my mom has been the most empowered woman in my life. And I kind of realized that lately, all the stuff that I took for granted, other people are not necessarily hearing at home, that, you know, you can do anything that you want, you can be anything that you want. And not only these empowering messages, but also making us aware that there is inequality as well. Like, my mom wouldn't forget about that when she was telling us that we could do whatever we wanted. She was also saying, by the way, there are things that are kind of working against you.
Can you give an example? I'm just really curious because I did not grow up like that. I mean, they were encouraging. I mean, they wanted me to get good grades, but it wasn't like female power is like, let your brothers work outside and let you do the dishes.
Oh, you really? Know? Well, I didn't have brothers, I guess, so there wasn't that contrast. But I say even with my male cousins, we were always treated the same way. You know, everybody had to clean up. There was no, like, you keep your dress dirty and they can go play or whatever. It was always like, you all need to get outside and go get dirty. And then when we're older, it's like, my mom is always emailing me business advice. I'm not running a business or doing anything in business, but she's always giving me things like, you know, how to have a good handshake, you know, how your finances should be in order, all this kind of stuff.
That's awesome. So. That's cool. I don't know that I was that young. I mean, I think at a young age, you don't think about it at all anyways,
yeah,
because you're
true.
Absorbing things. But hopefully we're all inherently feminist, yeah. At birth, you know, clean slate. I don't think I thought about it much until I read a book. First I watched Xena, which is an amazingly feminist show, and okay. I should probably write a post on that because it was groundbreaking in so many ways. But I read a book called The Gate to Woman's Country, which I don't know why I pulled it off the shelf. It was this feminist dystopian novel, but it blew my flipping mind because I'm going to spoil this for everybody. You realize at the end of the book that the women are sending all the men who are, like, warlike and angry or just want to, like, kill things. They, like, put them in armies and then make up wars between other women's colonies. And they just kill... They let them kill each other off.
Really?
And they keep the good ones inside the walls. But it's intentional. And only people at, like, the top know that that's what's going on. Everyone else thinks there's another war.
Right.
But it's, like, they're just working to kill off these other guys because... It's like post-nuclear. There's wastelands. They know that we can't go back. We can't do that again. So we got to get rid of this gene that's making people militant.
And what about the aggressive women?
Oh, interesting. Very interesting point. Aggressive women went out there too, and they usually ended up being like prostitutes to the army.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if I agree with that commentary.
Yeah.
That necessarily prostituting yourself means... you're militant or whatever, but I was too young and haven't read it since to give you a very good dialogue about what that means. But that's really when it started for me, although maybe watching Pocahontas did too, because that is probably the most feminist of all the Disney movies.
Yeah, that one does really well, I think.
So I started HerStoryArc about a year ago, and then it started out as a personal blog, which I realized I didn't like because I didn't really want to talk about myself, and I didn't really know how to talk about other things when the blog was said it was about me. So I decided to make it more impersonal. And then, happily, Celia joined, and a few people joined, and now there's 14 of us. Celia, what would you say HerStoryArc is about, if you were to answer that question for someone?
I would say that the appeal and also the challenge for me is the positivity aspect of it. I liked that was your focus right away. Like, I knew that was different because the things that I read are critiques and they're smart and they're interesting, but they are negative. And so I liked that there's a positive aspect. And then, I don't know, the media just that we're influenced so much by, that's a powerful focus, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I was getting almost depressed reading. I had to stop reading Jezebel. Like, it's a love-hate relationship. It's right. fun. But then there's a point where you're just mad all the time. Mm-hmm. Not all the time, but every time I was on Facebook, I'd see, like, another article, like, look who said this, or look who wrote this ridiculous blog post, and can you believe it? So let's all click on it and give them views and talk about it and give them publicity. And it just seemed counterintuitive. Like, why would we give more publicity to these things? Yes, they're bad, but I needed, for my own personal well-being, I think, to start this website and start thinking more positive about things. So for me, that is the heart of her story arc is, yes, things are bad. A lot of websites talk about those bad things already. We are hoping to look ahead and look at present and see there's a lot of ground being made and broken and ceilings being broken and people achieving things that... And women achieving things that weren't possible before for women. Or rather, they were possible, but they weren't allowed to achieve those things. Right. Or weren't allowed to take credit for achieving those things before. And now they are getting that credit, even if it's retroactively or posthumously.
Sometimes posthumously, yeah.
I'm trying to remember how to say that word. So that's really the heart of her story. Because what's the future going to be like, and how can we help ourselves get there? We have a lot of parts of our website. We have the podcast series. We do book reviews, movie reviews. We also do introspective pieces on our own lives and how that ties into some of the stuff we've talked about. What's your favorite part of the website, if you have one?
I would say probably the introspective pieces are some of the most interesting. It's always interesting to hear how other women are interacting with I guess the negativity that you would see, and then how they turn that positive for the website or in their own heads as well. But my favorite also is probably the book reviews, just because I like reading, and it's fun when you know the book is going to be enjoyable, or it's already been approved by another feminist, so you can kind of relax and enjoy it.
We should have a stamp, like, feminist approved media. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, we should do that. I need to talk to Tina. She's our graphic artist on the site. Tina Murphy hasn't actually written any posts yet, but just know when you look at the website that all the graphic design you see is Tina's, and she's amazing, and that's all volunteer work that she's put in for us. I think that my favorite part of the website, even though it has not been used very much, is the Jane Doe account.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I sometimes think of posts, I haven't written any yet on that account. I shouldn't even out myself. Like, you're not supposed to know who's using that account. It could be anybody. It could be a non-Historiart contributor. I think we've only had two posts using that. And if you don't know what the Jane Doe account is an anonymous login that any of the contributors can use. I have given out the username and password, so I wouldn't even know whose post it is once it's in there. And we would, of course, give it out if someone approached us interested in writing an anonymous piece. And then we publish that, not knowing whose it is, but on some topic that's feminist. But maybe feminist in such a way that it's sensitive. Like, perhaps the person is writing about being a trans woman, but they're not out at work yet, and they're maybe afraid of losing their job, or any number of situations that you could think of that would prevent someone from wanting to actually share their real opinion online in a public way with their name attached to it. So I think that's my favorite part of the website, albeit a not very well-used one. So that could be either a good or a bad thing. we need to advertise it more, or maybe we don't need that. Maybe we don't mind not being anonymous anymore.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope that it's the latter. That would be cool. One thing, though, that we really wanted to highlight today, and you've probably seen it if you've read our posts, we don't use this all the time, but we use it fairly frequently, the Historiart scale of inclusivity. We should have a trademark by that, by the way. It should be TM. This is ours. But no, I would actually be happy if other people used it. Do you want to expound on that a little? What your thoughts are?
Yeah, I thought this... I guess the biggest thing was kind of our meeting we had where we tried to figure out what are going to be each of the sections, and realizing that was kind of a big challenge. Mm-hmm. And how are we going to phrase each of the sections, and then how are we going to give out points for each section, was really interesting to delve into when you realize that, okay, it's not so simple. Like, our language is not we need to have like more words just to get across the idea mm-hmm. that we want. And so that was a really interesting mm-hmm. meeting where we kind of hammered it out. And then we were like, oh, we know this isn't perfect and we just have to use it. Anyway, yeah. And we're going to and see what happens and add disclaimer that, you know, mm-hmm. it's a work in progress.
Yeah. I totally forgot that we had met. We talked about this at the annual. We have an annual Historia Art contributor party. Unfortunately, only typically the local contributors are able to attend since we're in Minnesota, but we do have contributors in other states and even in two other countries, Germany and Canada. And listeners, whoever's out there, if you have even thought about contributing, even if you're not even sure what you'd write about, please contact us because we are happy. No, we beg you to help contribute to the website because the more voices, the more unique perspectives that are on there, because every person has something different to contribute to us, the better the site is going to be. Because right now it is, I think, dominated by book reviews. Yeah. We're all sort of leaning toward the books right now. But I posted the scale of inclusivity on Reddit a while ago. Right. I think six or 7 months ago, maybe it was even longer ago than that, to the Girl Gamers subreddit. I got a lot of great feedback. Some people really jumped on it right away. Some people threw the SJW slur. I'm using air quotes for those who can't see me slur around. I don't mind being called a social justice warrior. I think Reddit's often hijacked by maybe people that lean a little bit on the anti-SJW scale anyways. But it was encouraging. We're not arguing that this is a scale that would be mass appeal. I thought that was something people misconstrued by me posting it there, was hoping to achieve Bechdel test notoriety. And that is not what this is. This is for someone who's been feminist for a while that wants reassurance, you know, for what media to consume, because there are triggers all over the place. And one of the things I realized when I went to WizCon 2014, or WizCon, it's in Madison, Wisconsin. It's an annual women in sci-fi convention, which is great, by the way. I wish I could have gone this year, but I wasn't able to. But I realized there that once something that was keeping me from reading, I kind of got into this rut. I realized I wasn't reading because I didn't trust the next author I would read. I had a few bad experiences reading where I just got fed up. I was like, how can I know I'm going to read something that'll be an enjoyable experience? And so that also contributed to me thinking there's got to be a way to start maybe sharing with one another how good something is in a feminist sense. This scale is not saying how good a piece of media is in general. It's only saying how good a piece of media is with regards to including women. We're not even saying that every piece of media needs to include women. I want to be very clear about that, because if something doesn't pass this test, or maybe at a minimum it only gets not offensive to women, which is the first category, because it's about a single man interacting with other men, that's fine. That's a fine story. And I would probably read that story if it wasn't, you know, if it was well written and it was introspective. But there's a lot of that out there. There's a lot of sites out there that will promote them. The mass media will promote that person. If it's a good book, they'll get reviewed in the New York Times. Whereas disproportionately, stories about women or that include women or include a lot of women talking to each other just don't. And that's, we're trying to help correct that balance. So I think there's often a misconception that by focusing on women, we're saying only if something passes this, is this a good thing? And that's not what the scale is.
Kind of reminds me of like a review. So for myself as a vegetarian, if I think of a restaurant and somebody says, oh, is there vegetarian stuff there? And somebody will say, yes, there's salad. And then somebody with a little more knowledge will be like, oh, well, this place has, you know, tofu or something a little bit more mm-hmm. detail, a little bit more breath. So it's not to say that the other restaurant isn't good, especially if you really like steak or something.
I like where this metaphor is going.
But maybe it doesn't fit, you know, what you're looking for right then, or it doesn't fit you as a consumer. You need a little bit more detail about what specifically you like. Mm-hmm. And I think the scale kind of does that.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, and if you have really complex allergies, like gluten-free or whatever, then you're getting into pretty wild territory. I think once you've been reading anything with feminism for a while, you just start to feel, you hear the same bad stuff over and over again. It's like, who's doing something different? Please take my money. Take it all. I just want to not read what that last thing was. So yeah, I'm pleased with how this the scale has blossomed. One thing we did have to add, though, was that asterisk on the Not Offensive to Women. Mm-hmm. It was on our main page, but I noticed people not understanding that category. And our intent with saying something's not offensive to women isn't to say that all women will not be offended. But the woman who reviewed was like, you know what, this didn't offend me. I cannot speak for all women, but with regards to me and my experiences, it did not offend me, and this is why. Or if it did offend, also explain why it was offensive. In some cases, I don't feel I have to say very much. But in some cases, like when I reviewed the TV show Vikings from the History Channel, that section was long.
Right.
Because there were several rape scenes in that show, and I felt like I needed to explain why I didn't think they fell in the offensive category. Because to not include rape ever, I mean, is just kind of missing out on a part of human experience. An unfortunate part of human experience, but one that does exist. But there's a way to do it and a way not to do it. And I thought they did it the right way. In my opinion, I gotta be very careful with saying this because, you know, there's so much out there as far as what is not a good rape scene. If you can use the word good, God, I should probably stop talking about it now before I get myself into a hole.
So maybe an authentic one or something.
Yeah, that, honest.
Honest, yes.
Sympathetic to the victim, not the, what's what I'm looking for? You know, the bad guy.
Force an emotional reaction from the viewer.
Or even worse, make the perpetrator sympathetic.
Yeah.
This could be a whole nother podcast.
But I wonder, is there anything that would pass that first or fail that first category?
But not offensive?
Yeah, and then make it onto our site, I wonder?
Actually, good example, I did not give the game Tomb Raider that point.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I started concluding the asterisk. And I explained that the reason I didn't include it, and I loved the game, I gave it a 14 out of 15. It's strange to say that I gave it all the other points but didn't give it the offensive twin point. And this is a controversial opinion, but I thought in the beginning of the game, when Laura's about to be sexually assaulted, and then she does end up killing the person, but if she didn't, then they killed her, I thought that that was unnecessary. It didn't add to the story. It didn't really do anything for the story except to be a triggering moment. Right. For me, I thought it was triggering. And I was upset that it was included. And it kind of put a cast over the game until I realized after a while that this wouldn't be the normal in the game. It was like there's that one moment that is it. Never happens. Nothing like that ever happens again in the game. But I was afraid for a while that it would. So I was like, why? That did not need to be included. I really didn't think it needed to be. Especially when there was another woman, several other women on the ship who were even captives by these large groups of men, and nothing happened to them, you know? So it seems...
Okay, I see.
Like, if you're gonna avoid it there, let's just avoid it altogether. Yeah. And, like, let's make this an enjoyable action-adventure game, which is supposed to be entertaining, not realistic, because mm-hmm. there's not a lot of unrealistic elements about this game, let's be honest. A lot of the stuff is impossible that happens, so, you know, let's think outside the box a little. So that's an example where 0 points for not offensive to women, but it got all the others. Yeah. So
okay.
That's so far, that's the only time that's happened, but it can happen. Yeah. And people might think that's harsh, but this, like we said, the scale doesn't measure necessarily how good something is. It's measuring how inclusive it is for women's experience, both within it and to enjoy it. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's complicated. Celia, do you want to go on a little bit about, you know, we talked about how the site is positive, but sometimes we do have negative posts on there. A little, not necessarily completely negative, but it touches on negative things.
Mm-hmm. One reason that I like to have negative posts every so often is because of kind of what we talked about earlier, is that women are telling their stories, and there are a lot of negative things in our own lives. I think we had one article about, or we've had a few about women at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And at cons, there are, you know, even at WISCON
mm-hmm.
has had a lot of trouble, even though their focus is on women and other disenfranchised groups. Mm-hmm. There's lots still negativity from you know, who people who are there at the site or critiquing it online or something like that. And so it's hard to, sometimes it can be hard to be a fan of something and want to participate in that world and to be excluded from it just based on your gender. And so for me, especially for those posts, because I'm not really part of a gamer con world, it was enlightening for me to read somebody's experience and to, as somebody who loves it, saying, okay, here are all the bad things, and they were bad. You know, I'm not giving up on this hobby. You know, as a hobby, they could give it up, but they don't want to, and they shouldn't have to. And so it's just interesting to see kind of that full, that breadth of their experience, I guess, the positive and the negative.
I definitely agree. I think, given what I've said about other sites like Jezebel going heavy-handed on the bashing, hate bashing or whatever of non-feminist things or misogynists, giving the goodness of having those negative posts is that we are giving them a platform to give those opinions. So the positive side is they are able to say these things in a space where they have an audience and they're getting their opinion out there. I thought one of our most recent negative posts was the Daredevil one, our guest poster, Elsa S. Henry. She has a blog called Blind Woman Versus. Blind Lady Versus. Thank you, Celia. Where she talks about her experiences playing video games and watching TV shows, but being with a low vision, vision impaired. So she had a post on Daredevil, which was incredibly enlightening. I wouldn't have thought of any of the stuff that she talked about, having no idea what it's like to have either being completely blind or low vision. And one of the most interesting things about that post was her discussion about her cane as a tool, as an extension of herself.
Yes.
And how when Daredevil throws the cane away so frequently, apparently, I have not watched the show, but so frequently that it seems like he's, you know, kind of flying in the face of what this is to the people who have, who are blind, was interesting. I wouldn't know it otherwise. And that post was incredibly well viewed. I think we had over 3,000 views, which is good for us. unfortunately, it was hate viewed also by certain corners of the internet that we shall not name, but you can probably figure out. Again, throwing around SJW as a slur, but that's okay. Mostly we do focus on positive. And if there's a negative influence in the post, like maybe the Tomb Raider game, or maybe a post that starts out negative, we try our best to try and think beyond whatever that negative thing was and see how can we make it better next time? Or how can the world be better next time? You know, it's not necessarily, the onus isn't necessarily always on us, you know? It's not necessarily all our fault. Like if we were at a convention, something happened to us, we're not victim blaming, but just trying to find, you know, ways to improve the culture that we're living in. We have thought a lot about what our goals are going forward as a site and as a group. Things like volunteering, maybe hosting feminist-related edit-a-thons for Wikipedia to get more women who are notable on that website, which skews heavily towards white men's interests, like World War One or Civil Wars, or you get the idea. How about, what do you think, Celia, going forward for us?
I think that that's like something that happened slowly for me, I guess. And at first it seemed enough that I was just a feminist in my own thoughts and actions, and then to participate in her story was already kind of a bigger step forward for me. And then as I got more and more involved with her story, but also just sort of with internet feminism in general, it seems like, okay, now the next logical step for me is to do something else.
Outside the internet.
Yeah.
Right, in the real world.
I'm so kind of interested in what my friends are doing or paying a lot more attention to, what everybody else is involved in and kind of like what area of... The thing about writing is you can, each week you can write about something different, but when you're out in the real world, then you don't have time to do everything that you want to do. You kind of have to pick and choose. But I think that you should talk a little bit about Geek Girl Brunch, because you're the one who found it or kind of brought it to my attention. So I don't want to talk about it, actually. I think you should.
I think I noticed it. So Geek Girl Brunch, if you're not familiar, is a growing presence on the female geek blogger ecosystem along there with the International Geek Girl Pen Pal Club. I don't know if you're familiar with them either.
Just but, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, they're sort of a big force to be reckoned with now. But I am a member of a Google Plus group called Female Geek Bloggers, which I highly encourage anyone to be a member of, even if you're not necessarily a blogger. It's just a great post to read, a great place to read posts of other women who are blogging about various geeky things. They have a 5 Fandom Friday where everyone, there's a topic and everyone posts about that topic. We haven't, because it doesn't really fit in with our mission to be only about positive things that are more general, not like unique to an individual. It's usually like, you know, what's your 5 hottest celebrity anime characters or something like that, you know? But that's where I found out about Geek Girl Brunch, because other women in other states were talking about their Geek Girl Brunch groups. So I looked at their state and saw that our state, Minnesota, we don't have one yet. A lot of states don't have one yet. It's heavy on the coasts, and there's a smattering in the Midwest. There's a smattering in Europe. There's a couple in the UK. There's, I think, some in Canada now. So it's growing. It's not just the United States. It's a larger group of women all coming together to celebrate being geeky on maybe a Saturday or Sunday morning once a month with some sort of theme. And so me and Celia are officially the chairs of Geek Girl Brunch Twin Cities. And we'll be debuting, we'll have our launch on August 22nd. That's a Saturday. We do not know where it's going to be at. If you're in Minnesota and near the Twin Cities, please find us on Facebook. Just type in Geek Girl Brunch Twin Cities and you'll find us. You can RSVP. So our goal by doing this, by meeting with other women at a brunch setting, is to inject a little bit of the empowerment of following our passions in the face of historical animosity towards women within those passions. Mm-hmm. It's definitely getting better, I think, by the hour. I heard today, maybe you guys followed the hashtag We Want Widow or More Widow, because Black Widow merchandise is like non-existent.
Right.
They finally were like, okay, We're gonna do stuff, but it's only for adult women. It's not for children, so they still aren't getting the message that children, like little girls, might want this merchandise. They're aiming it towards, like, you know, our age group, who are the ones being activists online asking for it. So they'll be like adult t-shirts with Black Widow on them. But whatever.
Right. It's a start.
So the idea is, you know, to inject more of that into our local communities. It's amazing how after attending a party, one of our contributors, Paige, had a party, and we met a couple other girls there who are now contributors, and it's been awesome to see them kind of transform a little bit in the process of writing or even doing the podcast, kind of having some revelations about, I didn't notice this before, or I didn't think critically about this before. I remember in the last podcast about, we did the women's history, realistic or historically accurate history versus actual history.
Air quotes again.
I know Risha had commented, you know, watching Agent Carter, and how at first she's like, this isn't real. No, there weren't women like this. This is just pandering. And that's an argument people make a lot about including women in things, like, oh, they're just pandering to the SJWs or whatever. But there is historical fact for those things, and we just haven't been taught that history, and we have to normalize it to make it seem realistic to people again. So it's kind of an uphill battle, but by going in person, making more connections locally, finding those other women in the cities who are willing to maybe join our online presence and kind of bleed it into their real lives, we can make change that way, is my hope. In addition to, you know, actually volunteering, you know, say at a women's shelter or food drive or something like that. We could incorporate elements like that too, I guess. Yeah, we've said a lot of things about the website. I'm hoping you guys aren't bored listening to us. Clearly, it's something we're passionate about. I have obsessively looked at our website every day since I created it, fine-tuning every detail. And if you have any feedback whatsoever, please shoot an email to editor@herstoryarc.com. We would greatly appreciate it. Is there anything you want to say, Celia? Kind of a footnote to the conversation?
I don't think so. I think we touched on, I don't know, a lot of the areas of the website are so interesting to me, and I know we've written about them in the About Us section or other pages, but it's nice to kind of say it in your own words, I guess.
Oops, I burped, sorry. Hope I didn't get on the microphone. Something that I, this is my, like, best case scenario for the website. I would like us to be invited onto, like, some sort of CNN talk show. You know, Whoa. They have bloggers go on there sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I think Feminista Jones is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I think she had done the... Oh, shoot, I can't remember the hashtag that she did that made her so popular. That White Women Feminism, I think it was, something like that. It was, you know, kind of criticizing the whitewashing of the feminist movement.
Yeah.
Which was, I think, valid in a lot of ways, and she had really good points, and I follow her on Twitter still. I would be so happy if we were on there. And even more, like, further out than that, wouldn't it be great if, like, a movie came out, and then they were like, and this movie has not been reviewed by her story arc, so that probably means something, you know? Maybe they're choosing not to review this one for a reason. Like, if, you know, I don't know if that would ever happen, but that's my secret little fantasy of mine, you know. Some crap movie comes out and they wonder about that. I do wonder if we should have a list on the website of things that we will not be reviewing. Just to, like, give an idea of...
Yeah.
They can figure out why, maybe. And maybe we shouldn't do that because that could invite, I don't know, angry right. people. And there's some things I would put on that list that others wouldn't. For example, True, I am exactly. not a fan of Game of Thrones. And I know a lot of women who still are. Or who have been from the beginning, but I'm not. They lost me pretty fast, actually, and for reasons that I don't need to go into. But I know other women who would write about that, and they would see stuff in there that I don't get from that show. So it's hard to put things on that list.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you're listing things, and then there's no way to explain.
Right, and we don't want to explain. Exactly, that's not the yeah. point. It's probably better not to do that.
But I feel like every so often there probably would be something that we would all collectively think, nope, we're not going to get involved in that.
Can we just agree 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's not going to happen. Did you hear about the new series that she's going to be publishing? It's just like she's no. redoing the series, but from the guy's perspective.
Oh, yeah. I heard it got stolen, actually.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
No way.
I'm not sure
by who. She's like top of the pre-sale list right now.
For that,
yeah,
wow.
for that first okay. book, it's called Gray. She's cutting out some words.
Yeah.
Save on ink, probably is what I'm guessing. But yeah, that should be interesting. I should read those so that I'm not so full of crap when I, you know,
criticize them. Yeah, I know. I had to do that with Twilight too. I had to read it or watch the movie so that I could have all this evidence when I was critiquing it.
Right. I should probably do that. There's so many good things out there though that all the time I'm thinking of. Oh. This book I read when I was younger. I should review this. Like, Island of the Blue Dolphins. Who doesn't love that book?
I love that book.
Me too. And maybe we take that love for granted. Like, everyone reads this, right? But we could probably talk about that. A really good website for children's books and toys and clothing is amightygirl.com.
Mm.
I don't know if you've been to that, but part of me is kind of like, well, they're already doing it. But they're not really doing reviews. They have stores and recommended lists and things like that, but... Not necessarily like a point-by-point breakdown of those things. So we have our niche still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I think that benefits us by being focused on positive, and this is sort of a tangential benefit because it wasn't something that was a goal. This wasn't a reason we chose to be only positive. But we don't get attacked.
Yeah.
Because we're praising something. You know, if you like breathe... bad words about Game of Thrones, maybe.
Yeah.
And I've hinted at it, so people probably know that I'm saying it right now, so there's no secret. But if I wrote a post saying why it was so terrible, I'm sure I would pull in commenters that I don't want to be interacting with.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the positive sides about writing about positive things is we don't get trolled. Every once in a while, I'll delete. By the way, we delete comments who are mean. Like, we don't allow them. You can disagree. That's okay. You can disagree. But if you're mean about it, no way. I don't care about your supposed thank you right to tell everyone your hate speech all the time, but that's not freedom of speech. So, boo-hoo to you. Oh, well, it looks like we're coming up close to our 40-minute mark. So, any last thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I guess I would just reinforce, we had a whole podcast about positivity, so I hope that we inspired some people to maybe contribute for us.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Please contribute. We want you. In a purely non-sexual way, I promise. But we're incredibly interested in new voices. We can't hit that home enough. If you're listening to this and you're like thinking, maybe, I don't know, I don't have anything to say, you do have something to say. Everyone has something to say. And there's probably something that you have a passionate about that I have no idea even what it is.
Right, that it ever existed.
That would be amazing to hear your passion about. Simply because your passion will be so infused in whatever you write about that it will make it interesting. I think people underestimate that. When mm-hmm. you write about something you care about, it comes across.
Yeah.
I try not to write posts unless I really have something to say. I've dropped posts off. I'm like, oh, I'll write this. No, I don't mm-hmm. feel I don't feel strongly.
Yeah, exactly.
Enough about it. So it's important to tap into that passion. I see a lot of bloggers who kind of come and go. A lot of people like the idea of blogging, but then after a while kind of drop off.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that with Her Story Arc. We do not have any minimum posting requirement. We don't have any maximum posting requirement. Actually, right. We'd love it if you post every day. We might want you to rein in a little so we can catch up with the editing, but right. there's no min or max. There's no min or max word count. There's really no rules at all, except... Please be positive. That's the real. And that's a little bit harder, too, than we realize sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
To stay on that positive side. So there's sometimes where I just want to rant about something and like, oh, I've got a platform to do that. But that's not what Her Story Arc is for. So on that note, with that little seed planted in your mind, think about it. And if you realize... the what we already know about you, that you have something worth saying, send us an email to editor@herstoryarc.com. And thank you all so much for listening today to us kind of do a 40-minute long plug for the entire website, which you probably didn't need because you're listening to us right now. But share with your friends. You have a great day, guys. Bye. See you next time. Bye.